We'll just get this out of the way with our gospel today, with this parable of tearing down a small barn and building a larger one. This week, when we build our larger garage, couldn't have come at a worse time. Father Johnson was only too happy to point out this to me. He's like, you know what the gospel this week is, don't you? But before we start pointing figures, I won't ask how many of you bought a multi-million dollar lottery ticket this week with that $1.3 billion pot. Certainly things to think about, but I think the message of our Lord and his instruction for us is a little deeper than just having a big garage or winning the lottery. What does our Lord exactly say in this parable? It's not just that one can't have money in our checking account. One can't just build a large garage or barn. He goes a little deeper than this. He says, thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. That's the punchline. That's where the gospel ends. Am I rich in what matters to God? This is the true message Jesus wants to give us today. He's giving it to this man who stands up in the crowd and says, hey, tell my brother to share my inheritance with me. You have this duel between these two brothers, and both are trying to cling to something that doesn't even matter to God. An inheritance, money that gets passed on. That's what he's railing against. He's railing against this greed, this desire for something that would last only in this world, but has no bearing to God and in the world to come. You can even hear it in the voice of the man he tells in the parable, that this man, he's only concerned about himself. Number one, right here. He's not even talking to anybody else. He's only talking to himself. That's what it says in the parable. This man, he says, I shall say to myself, now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry. What a conceited thing to say. That you would speak to yourself, wow, look how great I am. I can just rest for the rest of my life. And then the Lord's word to that man, you fool, you don't have another day left in you. You've filled this barn with your surplus and it will waste away because your life will be called for you this day. It's a great question to ask myself. Well, then, what is the purpose of life? Why was I created in the first place? If it's not just to amass riches and fill barns with our surplus, well, what is it? What's my purpose in life? What's my end? And to this, I point to the saint for today, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Saint Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits in the 16th century, you know him, I'm sure. Maybe some of you have made a retreat before. You've read his spiritual exercises. Maybe some of you are Jesuit trained in your college experience. Saint Ignatius was a man of a dispossessed life. He lived life in a way that he didn't cling to the things of this world. And he wrote these spiritual exercises that we still practice today in retreat settings and our different spirituality, especially that Ignatian spirituality. And at the beginning of his spiritual exercises, he had what he called the first principle and foundation, that which I want to build everything else atop of. And what did he say in that first principle and foundation? He spoke exactly about what we're hearing today, about living a dispossessed life, about holding everything lightly except that which will get me to my purpose, my end. He starts right there. God created human beings to praise, reverence, and serve God. And by doing this, to save their souls. If you've ever wondered, what's my purpose? Why was I created? Right there it is from St. Ignatius. To praise, reverence, and serve God, and by doing this, to save my soul. That's the reason I was created. And he goes on, God created all other things in the world that God created. He created all of those on the face of the earth to help fulfill this first purpose, my purpose. Everything you see created in the world, God created so that you might praise him, reverence him, serve him, and by doing so, save your soul. That's why we see all the beauty of creation, every created thing. It helps us fulfill our purpose, salvation of our souls, praise, reverence, and service to God. And then he says, from this it follows that we are to use the things of this world only to the extent that they help us to fulfill our purpose. And we ought to rid ourselves of the things of this world to the extent that they get in the way of my purpose. But I only have stuff, I only use this world in order to fulfill my purpose. And if it's not fulfilling my purpose of saving my soul and praise, reverencing, and servicing God, then I ought to rid myself of it. Then he invites us to an indifference, that I would be indifferent to all created things as much as possible, so I don't necessarily want health rather than sickness. I don't want riches more than poverty. I don't want honor more than dishonor. I don't want a long life as opposed to a short life. If I recognize my purpose is not about myself and what I can do and how great I can be in this world, but only to praise, reverence, and service God, and then to be with him forever by saving my soul, then I don't want health or riches or honor or long life, except that they would help me fulfill my purpose. That's the gut punch that St. Ignatius gives us. How do we use the things of this world? How do I have possessions in a way that they don't possess me, but in a way that they only lead me to my final end? They help me reach my final purpose. Maybe you wanted to win that Mega Millions, huh? When you saw it on the news, you were hoping, maybe it's my chance. Maybe this is my time. My numbers are going to come up, and what that would do for my life. That's an okay thing if it would help you praise, reverence, and service God and save your soul. But if winning the lottery causes your damnation, well, I don't want to win the lottery. I don't want a big garage. I don't want anything in this world if it's going to take me away from my purpose. And this is what Jesus invites us to, that we wouldn't have a perspective where we look only on this world, but that we would have a kingdom perspective, one that only points to the world to come, one that fulfills my true purpose, my true end in life. St. Paul gives us exactly what that looks like here. He speaks to the Colossians in such a similar way as St. Ignatius. He says, if you were raised with Christ, then seek what's above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what's above, not of what's on earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. St. Paul is speaking to those believers who have died in the waters of baptism. They've left the old self behind only to follow the Lord in a new way. And so he says, put to death then the parts of you that are earthly, the things of you that are still clinging to this worldly stuff that fades away. Put that to death. Stop clinging to it. That you would only think and seek what is above. That's having a kingdom perspective. That's putting my life, my stake on what truly lasts, not on the things of this earth that fade away. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, it hits this today too. Vanity of vanities. Everything's vanity. Everything's passing away. Except that which is eternal. That which matters most to God. That which he invites us into to cling to in a lasting way. That all my decisions, all my possessions, they'd be at service of God and his kingdom. This is the way the Lord invites us. How do I possess things? How do I use the things of this world? Are they possessing me? Are they taking me away from my final end, my final purpose? Brothers and sisters, this is the mission of the church. Why does the church build garages? Why does the church put up murals? Why does the church expand their middle schools? Why does the church found hospitals and reach out to the poor and do all these charitable works? Why do we do anything? It's of service of God that would save our souls. It's having a kingdom perspective, knowing what we do matters in eternity. So we do it today, bringing more with us. We hold lightly the things of this world so that we may hold more firmly to the things to come, the things that truly last. So I invite you into this kingdom perspective today. Let's leave at the altar. Let's put to death anything taking us away from our first principle, our foundation, anything that would keep us from loving and reverencing and servicing God and saving our souls. Let's cling to him alone, he who alone is lasting and good to us.